do it, do it, do it. I don't know how to do a beat.
Well, okay. Have you listened to that song? I was wanting to listen to Miley's Flowers, right? The song mm-hmm. Flowers, that Miley Cyrus's top hit. And so I went to Spotify and I'm like, let me see what else is popular, because I'm such a podcast person that I'm like, I haven't been listening much to, you know, the radio. So I don't even know. Maybe there's new songs that I might like. And I found a few that, like, oh, it's catchy. And then there's one, and I'm sure some listeners have heard it, but it's called I Just Want to Rock. And the lyrics are interesting. I'm not saying it's a bad song, but it's not.
I Just Want to Rock? Is that I Want to Rock?
No, not I Wish. Okay. No, it literally, hold on.
Not 80s hair metal.
No, this, I wish. That would be really fun if that made a comeback. And that was the U.S. top 100 hits or whatever Spotify playlist I had found. I'm going to look up right now. I Just Want to Rock. Lyrics. So the lyrics go, I just want to rock. Body yaddy. I'm just reading it as it is. Like,
sexual.
This is
weird.
Body yaddy, yeah, shake it down. Damn! That's like the auto-tune. There's someone that periodically
was
says
that
damn in auto-tune.
Wait. Just
it's Lil Uzi Vert. I'm probably saying it wrong. This is showing my age. Lil Uzi Vert.
Okay, wait. Let me experiment.
I just want to rock. Body yaddy.
Damn! You can't hear me listening to music, right?
No.
Okay, because I had Spotify on my computer too. It gets right into the lyrics.
It's not I Just Want to Rock. It's Just Want to Rock.
Yeah. Damn.
Do you hear it now?
Yeah.
I told Gavin, like,
damn.
I told Gavin when I get like dressed all cute, like, you better say damn just like that. Damn. I was trying to describe this song to my friends. They came over for Gavin's birthday Saturday, and we're talking about this song. And I was the only one that had heard it. And I'm like, it's a good song. Like, I would work out to it. Like, I'd be mm-hmm. doing some, like, mega ab workouts to it for sure. Would I listen to it in my leisure? Not so much. And so I was trying to describe, I'm like, you know, that song that goes like, I'm like, no, Maria, we don't know that one. Anywho. Body yaddy, yeah. Shake it down. This is gonna rock. That's just a few little snippets of the song. I know our listeners are like, wow, what an amazing song. I have to listen to it right now. And they're probably also pondering, Maria, why aren't you a music artist? A voice for radio, as they say. Or was it? I have a face for radio. Yeah. I love that expression. I know. I'm
except
Katie,
the opposite. What's the opposite, though, when you're pretty but you don't have the voice? She's got, like, a voice for modeling?
I guess.
Is that
a voice for modeling? That reminds me of Singing in the Rain. Where have you watched Singing in the Rain, that oldie?
A long time ago.
Well, just a refresher, it's one of my favorite movies. The plot is pretty much like the movies, the talkies are starting.
Right.
Like, it's like, I believe it's like the 30s or something. Talkies
are
starting.
Oh, and she's like Manila Vanilla'd it.
And she, and like this actress, the silent movie actress, they realize, like, oh my God, her voice is horrendous. It's like very high pitched, nasally, like kind of like
trash.
Really irritating. Trash. It's a trash voice. that actress plays it so well. It's so funny. And then you have Debbie Reynolds' character that comes in and can actually, like, talk very lovely and sing. And they just dub her voice in. And then Gene Kelly is, like, falling in love with Debbie Reynolds, blah, 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 blah. But that's what it reminds me of. Anyways. Oh, now I feel like watching that movie.
Do it.
Moses supposes his toes are roses, but Moses supposes erroneously. Moses supposes. I am. We have lost every single Gen Z listener at this point.
Have we, though? I mean, isn't. Okay, Gen Zers. You guys like Tom Holland, right? Isn't he playing Gene Kelly in an upcoming movie? Or
wait, is he?
Someone's playing Gene Kelly. Someone's playing Fred Astaire. And I can't remember.
I can't imagine Tom Holland as Gene Kelly just because Tom Holland is so boyish. And Gene Kelly was very like, he's a man. But he was surprisingly short, actually. I think he was only like 5'2".
Okay, just kidding. Chris Evans is playing Gene Kelly.
That makes more sense.
I don't know if you Gen Zers are into him.
Although Chris Evans is way taller than Gene Kelly ever was.
Yeah. That must mean that Tom Holland is going to play Fred Astaire in something different or the same. Maybe. I'm not sure.
Well, that's exciting. It's exciting. You have to be a triple threat to be able to play Gene Kelly. Because that man could sing, he could act, and he could dance.
Yeah.
Oh, a wonder.
I think Chris Evans.
Not to mention Debbie fucking Reynolds.
I wonder if someone will be playing her.
That movie is what made me want to take tap dance lessons.
Oh.
When I was little, my parents, God bless them, they had, their mindset is very much like, we will support whatever your dream is currently and forever and whatever you need. Very, very sweet.
Yeah.
But then at one point I was so damn busy because I had tap, ballet, gymnastics, ice skating, volleyball. That's 5 different extracurriculars. And I was only 8. And they're like, Maria, you have to choose.
Cut it down.
And yes, I eventually chose volleyball. but yeah, I was doing tap there for a minute. That's the reason why it's one of my favorite movies. It's actually, I love that movie ever since I was 3 years old. Didn't even know a lick of English, obviously, because I was still living on the island. And there are very adorable home tapes. Yeah, not videos, tapes of little Maria trying to dance and sing to Singing in the Rain and trying to impersonate English. It's pretty stinking cute. I think my dad actually digitized all our home videos, so I might hit him up and see if he can send the digital one to me. Let's see if we can share it on the socials.
Yeah.
Yo, I want to see it.
I don't have anything that cute. I have my dad somewhere has a video of me dancing to the Nutcracker in front of our Christmas tree with my Nutcracker. Because
that's adorable.
Maybe I just started ballet, but like I wasn't singing shit or anything like that. I just was kind of flouncing around in my nightgown.
It's adorable. Yeah, let's try to get baby Laura and baby Maria. Let's show it off to the world because we were two stinking cute kids. I'm sure you were like super adorable.
I mean, I don't want to toot my own horn, but yeah.
Own it. Own it. It's 2023. Women need to own their power.
I wish I was still her sometimes. I look at like, before any bullshit happened, you know, you look at little you and you're just like, you had no idea. And you were so happy. And I mean, speaking of dancing, I have videos from like probably every dance recital, every Nutcracker, the outrageous outfits they would make us wear. I'm having flashbacks to some of them. Oh, I don't know if I want to go there. I'll still find them.
I feel like you just had a Ratatouille moment right there. And just this flashback to your childhood.
I did. I had a moment.
And I can't tell if that was a positive reminiscing or like terror in your eyes.
It wasn't good. I'll tell it. There's no shame. Oh. I was wearing this outfit with tights. It was my tap outfit. And it was this like unitard. It was weird. It was weird. It was like a bow tie. It was, we danced to Do You Believe in Magic? And like, oh, there was cute. One boy in the class. He was the magician. And we were like magician assistants, I guess. I don't know. It was weird. Mm-hmm. But it was this contraption to get into and a button that I had a hard time reaching. And I was on my parents weren't there. I was like kind of backstage, like with everybody. I was on the verge of having diarrhea and I was trying to get out of my outfit.
Oh, no.
As quickly as I could. I don't remember the rest. And that makes me feel like maybe it didn't go in the best direction. And my brain is like, nah.
Oh, no. How old were you?
Oh, I would have been like, for that outfit, I want to say maybe six or seven.
Oh my gosh. I mean, when you're in that situation as an adult, say, you know, if you're performing and you feel like you're about to have the runs, that is a panic. That is a damn straight panic. Let alone, we have been talking for, I see now, 15 minutes about nothing witchy at all. But listen, you have a lot to catch up on. We have a lot to catch up on. And this is what you've signed up for going forward if you're listening to our podcast. Anyways, absolutely. I'm Maria. Hello. Nice to meet you. Any new listeners?
Those are my dogs. Let me see. Graham might be about to pop in.
Anyways, I'm Maria, and I apologize for the technical difficulties. I'm sure you can hear the crappy quality of my audio, but my poor mic is not working. It probably like gave up on itself in the months that we did not record. And now I'm left to again record with my AirPods. So bear with me.
It'll be fine. And I'm Laura. I don't know what to say about that. It's me.
You're you. And you're listening to The New Witches. And we have been on a very long hiatus. Welcome to episode 101. This one's going to be kind of loosey-goosey.
We were going to make a special one for 100. And then I was in editing, I was like, oh, well, that was episode 100.
I told you, I'm like, this is episode 100. You're like, no, it's 99. I'm like, I'm pretty sure it's 100. But the special thing about it is that we finally came back. I think that was special enough for some listeners that have been waiting for so many months. And thank you guys for your patience and your support. Because as we mentioned in the last episode, just what we've both been up to in the last, what's it been, 8 months, I guess, since we were like regular.
Talking about being regular. poop.
We were talking about poop before. So we're cutting that out.
Yes, we are. but today is
we're also talking about nervous laughter.
Well, I was thinking you said we're playing it loosey-goosey, and I'm still on poop.
Yep. Yeah. So there's a – it's the running joke of the episode. That was good.
Yeah.
You know, in the 1920s, that would have killed. Apparently, their humor was all about puns.
You know what? Yeah.
Yeah. That was, like, the big thing is, like, if you could tell a good pun joke, people are on the floor.
I still wouldn't have been funny in the 20s.
It's funny how like humor is like it just changes, like just like fashion, just like style, you know, or design. Yeah. Like, it just evolves. Like what's on trend to be funny. Just something to think about.
Truly. It is. One day I'll be funny. Probably when I'm really old and I just don't give a fuck. I'll make it
right.
One
yeah.
Then.
You're going to have people just like laughing their socks off at that point. I feel like that's old people are so awesome in that way. when they've like
they really are.
Lived long enough that you're like, I've seen too much shit to give a crap.
Yeah. Really though. I mean, I feel like I feel weird talking about not being funny. I'm not saying this though. To make anyone like be like, oh, Zora, you are funny. I don't feel funny, but mainly because the amount of times I try to like be funny, I miss more than I hit, which is fine. But I was actually talking about this with my therapist and I she agreed, but I was like, I think I just care too much to like really be funny because I just overthink. Is that funny? Is it going to land? Like, is that the way you say it? Is it going to be offensive? Like, yeah. I Virgo too much.
I would say that you're funny when you let people in. Because, like, when we first were hanging out or, like, got getting to know each other, a lot of our discussions were, like, very serious, very deep.
Oh, yeah.
And as we've gotten to know each other better and better, just, like, I don't know, like, that emotional friendship intimacy, you're funny.
What's like those layers, right? Because I do that double Virgo. You know, when you meet me, you get the Virgo rising. You get my Gemini moon a little bit.
Yeah.
Geminis are funny. I've decided this year is the year of my Gemini moon. I'm letting her shine.
I love that.
Maybe it's a him. I don't know. I haven't decided the gender of my moon yet.
Whichever.
It might be they, but
I mean, it is a Gemini. I'm sure it's fine going both ways.
Probably. Yeah. Actually true. Yeah. I'm going with that. I like it.
Honestly, I think that genders can have a season too.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I think that's why like, I've been really into watching people's transitions. Mm-hmm. I think if you're on TikTok, probably knows Dylan Mulvaney. But there's a lot of people that transition. And what I really love is when they make the initial transition, there is that like almost diving 100% into that other gender.
Mm-hmm.
And then over time, kind of finding what that means for them. You know, because if you're like transitioning and you're like, okay, I'm a woman. A lot of times you do kind of see more like super feminine looks. And then there's that kind of easing into like, well, what does femininity and being a woman mean for me? Because it doesn't have to be that like.
Whatever society says.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
And same with, you know, when like, okay, I'm coming out like I'm a man and going like super masculine, but then kind of. I forget the creator. There was one who was like, went super masculine. And they're like, you know what? I'm kind of like metro for a dude. And that's where I am.
That's
and I just love seeing that because it's like, that's what everyone should be doing is finding what that means for them. And,
yeah,
you know, there's certainly days where you, for me, like rarely do I want to be in a dress. Every now and then I want to put on a pretty dress. I want to do my hair and I want to do my makeup. And then other days, I want to dress like my husband. And that is what it is.
Yeah, honestly, I'm all for people owning their truth and their identity. And so I understand why there's that declaration of a gender and the inclination to like really lean into it. But I think there's obviously like not a danger, but that's a tricky thing about just like labeling yourself as something rather than just being and just accepting yourself at face value. Because honestly, it's like at the end of the day, it's like you're just you. And it really shouldn't be any of my business, you know, what you identify as. Like, it's good to like, obviously declare it for like, you know, obviously it's really important to know people's pronouns. And I've even started to get into the habit of if I'm talking about somebody and they haven't declared their pronouns, I'll use the they, them.
Mm-hmm.
Until they, you know, and even my company too has, we've started putting pronouns in our like email signatures. Like it's creeping in there, you know, that kind of that declaration. I think that is very important because I know that that's obviously important to like not the non-binary and the trans community, especially for people to honor who they are and what they identify as. So I'm not disregarding that, but I just like I can see how like if you put yourself in a niche, how you can get stuck there, and it's and you don't have to be stuck there, and it's okay if in a year you feel different. You're allowed to change your mind or discover new parts of yourself.
That's what I love so much about letting kids explore it.
Yeah,
of just playing around with how do you feel about yourself, and not. As a kid, not really labeling things as like, this is for boys, this is for girls. Like, let them let them figure it out. And by the time they're an adult, they'll have a much more clear idea about who they are.
Totally. You know, Gavin and I, we hope for kids someday. And we've discussed kind of like what parenting would be like. And I actually was talking to him and I was telling him, I'm like, you know, I don't judge people who do gender reveals or gender announcements, but I personally, I don't want to make such a big deal about whatever the gender is. Like, I don't want to find out until the baby's born. Because then you start like putting your child, like if people know that it's a boy, they're going to start only gifting us boy stuff and only blue.
Gendered gifts. Yeah.
And only gendered gifts. And so if they don't know, they either go like, they'll go gender neutral or they'll be like, well, here's a doll and let's hope that they play with it. You know? And I'm also like, I would like to think that when I have a kid, I will let them take the lead. So if like one day they tell me they could tell me they're a fucking owl and I'll be like, okay, cool. You're an owl today. Just like, just let me know. And that's how I'll accept you as rather than, I think it's like that. I don't know. My mind has for some reason really just been focused on gender norms and gender conformity and the whole just like gender revolution that's been happening in the last decade. I think especially like now that I'm married and it's like, oh, the natural next step is like to have kids. And so it's like, I'm such a future thinker too. And I like to perfect what I do. I'm like, you know, if I have kids, if I am blessed with children, I love my future kids so fucking much. They don't even exist. And I'm trying to be the best parent that I can be when they arrive someday. Yeah, I don't know. This is a very long roundabout way to say, guys, whatever you are, whoever you are, we accept you and we love you.
Absolutely. And I have to say, too, that's been on my mind almost in a different way, though, because I keep seeing things about the divine feminine and the divine masculine. Mm-hmm. And while I know it's pretty accepted, it still gets under my skin a little bit. But it's more, and I've kind of been exploring that, like, well, why does that bother me other than like, okay, it's definitely not gender neutral, but like, I've also seen arguments very for them and why it still is considered not gender neutral, but like, okay. Mm-hmm. And in my own mind, you know, I'm kind of at a point where I'm like, people can do and say what they want and it's not going to bother me. But I've been kind of referring to, rather than like a feminine energy or masculine energy, going with more of like, oh, that's very Mars. That's very Venus. Or if I see something that's very like, if I'd consider it to be like dreamy, I'd be like, oh, that's so Neptune. Like making it more about astrology.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's kind of good to
expand it a little bit more.
I get it. Like using the adjectives that you would use under the umbrella of masculine and feminine without saying masculine or feminine.
Yeah, exactly. Because that's not like this is what I do now, but how it's been filtered through me so far. And
interesting. I like it.
It has been kind of expanding my knowledge a bit more on astrology itself and how mm-hmm. I read my chart. And I don't know, maybe this will turn into an episode one day of, because I think that would be fun to go over the planets a bit more. And
tarot.
Yeah, exactly.
The gender norms in tarot. And I know that there is a movement of tarot artists creating decks that don't have queen or king or high yeah. priestess. Like, they just take the gender out of it. And I forget what replacement words they use for each kind of card, yeah. but and how that would affect then the meanings of the cards if it does at all. You know, it's just it's cool to see the spiritual community like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's just kind of like the climate. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Just in this world, and to see that creeping in and us, not second guessing, just taking a pause and questioning.
Yeah, absolutely.
What can we do different? And, you know, it's like the same with kind of, or similar to the whole discussion of white magic versus dark magic and the whole like racial aspect yeah. of that. And there are two schools yeah. of thought for sure about that too, where people are like, it's definitely racist. And the other group can be like, oh, well, white just means like sunlight and humans are safer in the sunlight. So that means white is good. And then, you know, dark is just like nighttime when things are scary, permitted, you know, they go into like that whole thing.
Yeah. Which still has never made sense to me. Cause I'm like, but darkness is the time of like, if you're scared of the dark, yeah, that's going to be scary. But like, mm-hmm. not everyone is scared of the dark. The darkness is necessary. We need that to be regular human beings. That's part of our cycle. We have the sun, which gives us the vitamin D. We at nighttime, the melatonin mm-hmm. kicks in. You have to have the right balance of that for even your, if you've got chickens who lay eggs, you need that. It's good even for your own. If you have ovaries and if you have any fertility issues, that is one of the things they'll put you on to make you regular is vitamin D and melatonin to kind of right. get that cycle going. So it's I don't know. I've never been a fan of the white magic versus dark magic. Just.
Yeah.
It grinds my gears.
And I will say, you know, if anyone goes or has, you know, been listening since to the beginning, you know, when I started this podcast with Melanie, who now goes by River, by the way, I don't know if anybody has been following them, but when I started the podcast with Melanie, now River, from going forward, I'm going to refer to them as River. I remember them identifying as like a gray witch. You know, mm-hmm. they liked just not, you know, leaning one way or another. And I believe that I made statements just because I was a brand new witch and also not as educated yet. I remember making statements where I'm like, I like the white magic. and not absolutely understanding the full meaning of what that meant. And so I will own that like when we started this podcast, I especially was very undereducated about the witch community. And there have been other things that have been pointed out about our early episodes that, you know, it's disappointing. I'm like, I'm bummed out for me, like listening to me. I've said some things where, you know, but now I know better and I am working really hard on educating myself more. And I think we, you know, before this, we started recording, we kind of considered what is the theme going to be maybe for this podcast episode. And it could be mm-hmm. kind of like what we're setting out for the year ahead. And I started thinking like, oh, like I'll say, like just educating myself more, because I've felt, you know, since my sister's passing, very removed from the witch community, just because I've removed myself and wanting to step back into it. But then again, it's like, you know what, that's not even just like this year, that's just going to be a life decision.
Yeah.
You know,
well, and that's what we spend so much time talking about too, you know, and I mm-hmm. think And I'm glad that you're sharing how you're feeling about it too, because I think some people in their own journeys don't want to own up to having ever thought something where they've learned differently. You're like, oh gosh, yeah, I can't believe I believe that or said that or whatever. Like, that's all part of it. We're all going to be like that in the beginning because you don't know. Or mm-hmm. you've read some good books, but it's not a whole picture. And
yeah,
that's just what life is. I mean, I've said things too I can't remember, but like, it's always a journey to better yourself and educate yourself.
Absolutely. I think this podcast has been such a blessing, even though I have made missteps in the beginning. I'm glad that I've gone through it to learn and to be better. And for those who have messaged us to call us out on anything that we say, thank you, because it just makes us better. Like, we want to learn. I mean, we're always very apologetic, and our intention is never to harm anyone, but intention only goes so far if we're still harming. So
yeah,
thank you for those who do reach out. And I usually like respond like, yes, like tell me more, because I want to do better. Mm-hmm. And I'm very, very thankful for this podcast, because it has especially educated me on the appropriation of the Indigenous communities and how I can be an ally to them. Because I think one of the most disappointing things that I've said was, I think way back in our like spirit animal episode, I have since like edited that because I did not want to cause any more harm. Not mm-hmm. because I'm like trying to erase my mistake, but I don't want someone who is as miseducated learning. As I was learning that and then, you know, repeating that. And as this podcast has grown in popularity, especially, I think we both feel that more mounting responsibility, because people kind of like, it's weird to be in this position, but like so many people look up to us. It's kind of trippy to think that there's people that look up to me so much. Cause like, I mean, thank you that you have so much trust in us, but also, you know, even if you hear like what we have to say, please also keep doing your own research.
Yes. Always.
Yeah. We love research here.
We do. And you know, as much research as we do, and I think if you're learning, please consider us just like a source of information and continue. Yeah. If we cover something, by all means, I really encourage you to listen and then research the exact same thing and see what you come up with. Because just because we research doesn't mean that we are going to the ends of the earth.
It's not exhaustive. We're not perfect.
Exactly. So, and that's also not like saying like, oh yeah, we've probably made mistakes. Like, I feel like we do a good job. Like, I really love to research, but
we try our darndest. Like, we put so much effort into putting good information out there and not miseducating.
Exactly. But you know, at the same time, we are not completely unbiased individuals. Mm-hmm. So you may find the same information and get something a little bit different out of it, just in how it's presented. So
yeah,
always do your research, no matter what, even if, and that's, I think that's one thing I've learned myself from research, is I'll find a really good source. I'm like, God, this just seems so good. But then I have to do my due diligence and fact check that source. And sometimes I'll be like, wow, this is really cool. I'm learning so much. And then I go to a different source and I'm like, wait a second. What's going on here? These are two different things. One is calling the other out. Then I find another source. And then maybe a source that you thought was really good actually turns out to be garbage. And you know, that's all part of the game. That's why things are constantly being researched. We never research something and go, okay, done. We know everything we need to know. So forever research. Research for life.
Yes. Students of life.
Yeah.
I think one other thing, I mean, if we're running along with the theme of like what we want, what kind of energy or what kind of purpose we want to carry into this new year. I mean, it's like, it's the end of February. I know we're well into the new year, but
it's the fiscal new year.
The energy we're carrying into this fiscal new year. Q1. No, I am still so impacted by the words of Veronica Varlo when we had her on. And yes. Just, you know, the best spell that you can cast is the life that you create.
Yeah.
Like, that's the fucking energy that I want to bring to 2023. Yeah. And onward, especially. But, you know, just being more mindful of that. And God, I need to crack open her book again.
Same. And I think, shall we challenge ourselves? Right. And both read the book again and then set a date to make an episode where we like discuss the book.
Oh my God, new series, book club.
Ah!
So we have, how many series have we made? There's the ethical series. There's like the type of witch series. Now we got book club.
Book club, which, by the way, like, yes, this is a loosey-goosey episode. Once again, we will still have our series of things.
Yes. It's not going to keep being loosey-goosey.
Right. Just we need loosey-gooseys to not burden ourselves too much, because it's easy to wear yourself thin in today's world.
I also think it, like, allows for our fun, like, dynamic and our fun banter that, you know, I mean, it's still there in episodes where we have notes and we, like, go through it and we each have, like, our designated parts that we present. But I think this also allows just for, like, our personalities to shine and for the world to know how funny Laura really is, okay?
Look, I might actually be getting funnier because I started Lexapro like 2 weeks ago.
Oh, and how's that going?
It's only like the lowest dose, so like not much is happening. But, you know, I'm really gearing for, they said 4 to 6 weeks, whole new woman. They didn't actually say those words, but she basically said that like other patients that she has that have done it, they like work their way through all the side effects and then get to a point where like, wow, I didn't know life could be like this. Ooh. And I'm like, if this can like dial down the amount of caring, which I should really stop saying caring, because what it really is OCD. If it can dial that voice down, I'll have some jokes. Actually,
she says with finger guns.
I have a joke.
Okay.
I'm ready. Ready?
Yeah.
Why did the monkey fall out of the tree?
Why?
He died.
Holy shit. Shit got dark.
I have been learning my humor a little bit more, and I don't think it's a fun one.
It's what do they call it? It's just a dark comedy.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah. It's a genre. You didn't invent it.
The other night, I was laying in bed scrolling through TikTok while Graham's like sleeping next to me.
Oh my God.
I got you good, right? I was scrolling through, and I think TikTok is learning my humor too, because I had like videos like in a row of like my like silent shake laughing that I do when something's just so hilarious to me. And it was this mom said, my husband caught my baby's first words, but it had a filter on her, and it's this horrible like zombie face.
Mama!
letting it repeat over and over again. Oh my
God.
Shaking because I'm laughing so hard.
Man, my humor, like as far as like TikToks, like visual humor, like that physical humor, is awkwardness.
that's a good one.
Like things that are like awkward. Like, let me try to look for this guy's fucking. His name is Niall something. I believe he's Scottish, and he's just known as the awkward guy.
I love him.
Okay. The one with, like, the kid's birthday where, like, the mom pees herself. I think, honestly, that one is, like, top tier, like, his top, one of his top three videos, in my opinion, of, like, the best. Like, he just has these, like, the micro expressions that are just brilliant.
And he does a really, really good job of using other people's videos and making it funny without making fun of them.
Yes, it's not making fun of them. He just, it's actually pretty genius because I haven't really seen many, if any, people do what he does. He takes these viral videos that are funny in their own right, or they're just like viral for whatever reason. And he actually, the editing process, like he does a good job because he inserts himself into the videos as if he is a participant. Or like it's honest, and he's just like you see him just reacting to the situation.
I have to send you the because that's your humor, that one with the woman peeing herself, and then there's this one that I think this is the whole thing. Oh wait, no,
are you sending it to me on Instagram?
On that one, on TikTok, because that's where. I think if you watch that one and then click on the comment to see the original one.
Okay, the captions that he puts for his videos too are such gold.
They are.
Let's see.
And then go to the comment because it's just funnier with like the original audio. Because the video that he does this to, I saw first, like, just that video alone. And I was like, what is this? What is going on? And I would watch it over and over again. And then when I saw him do it, I was like, this is perfect.
Oh, my God. His face gets me every time. You notice how often he's like drinking milk in his videos too? Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah, no,
there's the original.
Niall McMillan, that's his name, guys. Niall McMillan, he's awkward POV guy is like his little nickname. Have you seen this one? I mean, you must have, like, but that one I was watching on repeat earlier today. I was in stitches.
Go back. Oh, I don't think I have seen this one yet.
It's amazing.
Little smirk.
Yeah.
He gets the straw.
It's currently the 1, 2, 3, 4 fifth video if anyone's going to his profile. The woman with like the I guess what is that, like the snake tongue?
Yeah, she split her tongue.
Yeah, this tongue split thing and the way that he reacts. And that's another beautiful example. He's not like not making fun of her.
Exactly.
He's just like you know what you how someone would genuinely I think respond if you suddenly saw that and then like he is doing his own attempt at a sexy
he's trying to do his own thing
it's and of course it's milk and that's like one of his shticks. Like whenever he's drinking something like 9 times out of 10 it's milk. he's brilliant. I love him. Back to witchy stuff.
You know, I mean, speaking, I think it actually, that's a good segue. Speaking of witchy stuff, one thing that I was starting to do kind of last year, which I do want it to be like, not, I, okay, Laura, slow down. What I was starting to do and what I want to turn into a future episode, meaning what I was doing, not like my personal experience with it. I mean, obviously that'll be part of it, but was inner child work.
Oh, yes.
And what I did learn, I knew this and I still went for it, is you can't just do inner child work and go about your business. If you're actually going to do the work of inner child work, make sure you're in therapy.
Oh, no, absolutely. I can't imagine doing inner child work without therapy.
Because I've seen a lot over the years of people talking about it as if, like, you need to do your inner child work and your shadow work and it being this, like, must do. But especially if you had any sort of trauma in your life, you can't just willy-nilly go about it. You can connect with, like, your inner child, but to actually, like, do work is mm-hmm. a different thing. So where was I going with that?
Speaking of which,
I guess I just wanted to talk about it.
is it, like, the shadow work?
Yeah.
Stuff? Mm-hmm.
Kind of, yeah, because, you know, it's – I think I was starting out just with, like, that connecting. So, like – realizing that I was, like, in my mid-30s, and when I was, like, a teenager, I really wanted to be the goth girl, but I mm-hmm. never could. I wasn't allowed to. And being like, well, I'm in my 30s. I can totally do that now. But also feeling like, but I'm also an adult, and, like, looking at how other people will do goth stuff, I like it on them, but thinking about doing it for me just felt so juvenile. So I was trying to balance that, like, letting myself do what I wanted to do when I was young and playing around with it, like, different makeup and outfits and stuff like that, and listening to, like, music that I did back then. And I think that's actually what kind of, like, re-triggered my depression and anxiety was gotcha. Kind of putting myself back there. Mm-hmm. But I'm in therapy now and I'm on medication. And so I'm still kind of going with it and still don't remember where I was going with that. But I don't know. I think inner child work would be a good topic to do a deep dive on, and how to, like, honor your inner child. And that was one thing. So when I was, like, a little kid, mm-hmm. I loved Star Wars so much. The first thing I ever bought with my own money was the VHS box set of Star Wars. Ooh. It was like
Expender
something. It actually, it was like $80.
Yeah, no. Yeah.
When it came out.
Then, yeah, the Gen Zers, they don't know. They don't know. Guys, you don't know. You don't know what it's like to buy a whole album for, like, one song, one hit song.
Yeah. It was a different world back then. But I loved Star Wars. I had all the toys that were out. And this was before, like, The Phantom Menace came out.
Okay.
It was just the original three when I was obsessed. Yeah. And by the time the new trilogy came out, I was a little bit older. And I just couldn't connect with those movies in the same way that I did the others. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, there was all the talk that people really hated on those movies. And then just life stuff happens, and I, like, kind of – I didn't fall out of love with Star Wars, but it just – I don't know. We separated. And being in Disneyland recently, I went through Star Wars Land, and yeah. someone I was with was, like, made a comment saying, like, I wish I was more into Star Wars because this would be amazing. And I had this, like, deep moment of just being, like, same. But it was like, I felt so sad because I was like, little kid me would die if she walked into this right now. She would be bouncing all over, looking at everything. Mm. And the people I was with also, they just really weren't that interested. So we just walked through it, and that was it. And when I got home, I was like, I wish I spent more time there. I wish I stuck with Star Wars. I wish. And then I just kind of stopped and I was like, you know what? I'm not fucking doing anything. And because we passed The Mandalorian a couple times and because it's Pedro Pascal, I put on The Mandalorian and started watching it. Yeah. Then I watched the Boba Fett show, and then I watched the newest trilogy, and I was like, okay, I'm getting back into it. I'm doing it. I'm getting in there. And it also is just this weird, like, you know, every fandom is going to have their, like, you know, you say you like something in a movie and they're going to be there. Well, actually, if you're going to talk about that. And being a Virgo, being a perfectionist, if I don't know all of something, I feel like an imposter. And so that was another thing that I think that's kind of held me back. And obviously, I'm like, I'm 35. I don't need to give a shit. So that's what I've been doing to kind of honor that little girl me. And I will one day go back to Star Wars land and actually spend time there and drink the blue milk and insist on taking pictures with characters because I kind of like that.
Yeah.
I mean, who doesn't? It's really them, so you kind of have to take a picture.
You do. You absolutely do.
Yeah. But, yeah. And that, too, just thinking about inner child stuff, you know, I feel like framing it in my mind, I think a lot of people think back to, like, well, what did I like when I was little, and then doing that. But I kind of – so I've told you I've had, like, weird dreams lately. I had one where it was kind of laid out that, like, we are essentially – like, our whole life is condensed down into those, like, Russian nesting dolls, you know?
Yeah.
You've got, like, the little baby you, and then, like, every year, you know, it just kind of grows into more.
Like a tree, a new ring that, every year.
Exactly. And that even though you're older, like that other, like that's still in you. Like,
yeah.
Rather than thinking like linearly, like I'm this age. And if I go backwards in time, then I'm that age, looking at more as like, she's still me. I can still talk to her. I can still interact with her. I can still give her this experience as if she's still a child, even though I'm an adult. And going the opposite end of, like, what am I doing for future me, for old me? What am I going to look back on right now, having this awareness of where I'm at? And, you know, I'm doing things for younger me that I really wanted. What is older me going to look back and be like, I wish I did this, I wish I did that, and doing it? And it just, it's been a cool adventure. And I know there are people out there that are more or less experts or just more versed in actual, you know, working with your inner child, that I want to learn more about it for sure.
It is very interesting. And, you know, one thing that I love about my therapist is, like, when we're talking about, like, one of my trigger points, you know, or something that is coming from my childhood, even if I'm not saying that it's from my childhood, she asks me, how old is that feeling? And which is really funny, actually, because the very first time that she asked me that, I like understood what she was asking, but I didn't realize she was asking me, like, how old were you when you first started feeling like this? So I told her, I'm like, 27 years. And she's like, are you sure? Because I'm thinking like, oh, I've had this feeling for 27 years out of my life.
That's how I would answer it too, literally.
So when I didn't, like, I understood it, but I didn't fully understand it. The answer that she needed. And we were just, and then we laughed for a little bit. But now, you know, when she asks me, it's very interesting. And I'm trying to actually do that on my own as well. And it's definitely like, you know, there's, I love the account, The Holistic Psychologist. She's great. I definitely recommend following her because she does a lot of that inner child work. Like, it's laced with a bunch of different stuff, but she herself went through a major journey to self-heal. And I think she actually uses like a hashtag that's like called self-healers, like hashtag self-healers. And she has a workbook and everything, which I think is cool. I think for inner child work, it's nice to like maybe have, if you're into journaling, having a journal prompt, or if you have a partner or just someone else in your life that you feel emotionally safe and intimate with, you know, discussing those parts of yourself. Like, man, when I felt like this, this reminded me of a time when I was growing up, X, Y, and Z. Those exercises are really, really great. But it's like, if I think for that full healing and that full change in you, the best way to go about it for sure is to work with a mental health professional.
Yeah. Cause that is a big staple of shadow work, is integrating different parts of you. And that you can't do alone. Not even if you're like, I've been a therapist for 50 years, I can do it. No, you really need an outside source to guide you.
Yeah. I mean, I think people could achieve maybe the same results. I think it would take them much, much, much longer if they were trying to figure it out and self-heal on their own. I think like, it's not like I'm saying you can't make any sort of self-progress without going to therapy. Obviously going to be like, hey, if you can afford it, because unfortunately you have to afford fucking healthcare here.
Right.
But if you can afford it, get yourself to a therapist, or find resources where you can get, you know, free therapy. Cause I know that there's certain programs, but I do know that there are those that for whatever circumstance, they cannot get a professional. And so I don't want to like discount them and be like, then you're just not going to grow as a person. Obviously you're going to grow, especially if like you're very about like, if you're emotionally intelligent and you invest a lot in that kind of self-awareness, that insight, it's just gonna take longer is all.
Yeah. And I think slow progress.
You can't expect as much change, I think.
You can't. And there is something to be said about having, it's like the difference between if you were a self-taught ballerina versus going to a professional school.
Yeah.
You might look really good doing ballet if you teach yourself, but there are going to be things that you just can't learn without that guide.
The foundation,
but also like can catch you before you start learning. Say there's a movement. Yeah. There's, and you don't realize it. Like you go, okay, I'm going to do this movement. Okay. Looks just like the person in the video I'm watching, but there could be something you're doing wrong. And having that teacher there to be like, before you start doing this over and over again, let me tell you, this little correction. Same with like having a personal trainer to any degree. There's a lot of people who are, you know, live at the gym and get super big and strong, but there's a difference between having, whether it's a trainer who's physically there or someone who writes workouts for you, who can even just be that person who's like, hey, I know you're feeling stagnant right now and you're doing everything right, but try this.
Yeah.
And that can make a difference too. So it's not like a clear cut, you need this, you don't need that. It's if you can get it, I think it's great.
I think getting someone in your life that gives you like those fresh eyes or that kind of more unbiased. I mean, no one I think can be perfectly unbiased, but more unbiased than yourself, to be honest and communicate those things and just give that new perspective. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. A great example of that is Gavin and I went to the disc golf course, yesterday, and he's starting to compete in tournaments, which I'm like super proud of him for. He like placed third in the last one, and but honestly, he was like only 2 points away from first. So like first, second, and third, they were all just 1 point away from each other.
Wow.
Yeah. And he's just like, he's just so amazing. Like you should just see him throw a disc golf. He's just, it just like goes forever. He's just so good. But yeah, I was taking our dog Canela out. I wasn't disc golfing myself. And he actually just like for fun, he's like, oh, I'm going to throw another one. Just like pass me a new disc. He's like, whichever one. And it actually like was fun because it gave him an opportunity to use certain discs for holes that he would never use that disc for, a thing to use it for.
Yeah.
And for a couple of them, it actually turned out a lot better than his, like his choice of a disc. I mean, I was just grabbing them at random. So it wasn't like I was like, okay, so let's try. I mean, I was definitely like, let's try this one, but I had no idea.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's not a very elegant analogy, but, you know, I think that having someone that will be like, hey, try this new perspective, just try something new. Like what you're doing is working, but if you do it this way, it could work better.
Yeah. It's a coach basically who can kind of keep you in check. And I mean, and I think there are just times where you might just learn something new. I've been in therapy for a good chunk of my life, and it wasn't till this therapist that we uncovered that I have OCD, and that's been more at the core of a lot of the things I've struggled with and things that I hadn't spoken to anyone about, because like, talk about intrusive thoughts. I know that's kind of like all over TikTok. I've seen it on Instagram of people not getting it correct. It took starting to see people honestly talk about intrusive thoughts that I brought it up to her, and she was like, that's what we're spending today talking about. And you know, because sometimes there's things that you might be going through that you don't want to confront, and it's good to have a space where it's safe, and again, someone who knows what they're doing. Which again, I'm not saying like you, that you have to be in therapy to do any sort of healing, but you do want to know when an area is or could be a little tricky and when to like maybe say, I'm not diving in the deep end yet. I'm going to stay over here and perfect this. And either I will get to a point where I feel ready for it, or I can find someone to go into the deep end with. That's my recommendation with doing any of that kind of work, because you don't know. You never know. Yeah. And you could even find someone who seems super knowledgeable, maybe isn't a professional, and they make you think that they know exactly what they're talking about, and then things get... My brain was trying to think of a word and it went in a completely different direction, but things can get wonky. Even within therapists, you know, even if you are in a position to have a therapist, you got to make sure it is the right one. I was lucky that I ended up with one who is really good. She's great and I love her. And I have moments where I'm like, want to ask her if she wants to be my friend, but that's not how that works. Because she's just so, I just love her perspective. And we've talked about this outside of the podcast, but it is so important. PSA. I want like a button to press to say PSA.
PSA.
Tell the people in your life that you are proud of them, wherever it is applicable, because it should not take a therapist telling you and like you sobbing because they said it to feel like, just start telling people in your life that you're proud of them wherever you can, because that is such a good feeling.
It is. Laura, I'm so proud of you for doing all this work and making the breakthroughs that you have. It's huge. That's huge stuff.
Thank you.
And thank you for sharing all of that with me and thus the world, our listeners. That's not easy stuff to like delve into and be honest about.
It's maybe it's my Gemini moon, but like getting into it actually makes me want to talk about it more.
I love it.
Oddly.
But I love it, and I love you.
I love you. And I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you for always doing what you need to do for you. I'm proud of you for dealing with a year that, God, you had to balance such opposites. And I can't imagine what kind of strength that took. And I'm really proud of you for doing it and getting to a point where you want to come back and share with all of us.
Aww.
You giving us your time and your voice.
Thanks. My sultry voice. Well, it sounds like the theme for you going forward in this year is shadow work, is what I'm gleaning from this. Just a shot in the dark. Is it shadow work?
Shadow work, inner child work. String theory.
Oh, right. You mentioned that in our last episode. I'm really interested and intrigued to do a deep dive in a future episode and just let you have at it. And for me to learn all the things. And I may have an existential crisis in the middle of it. That's okay.
My goal with it, as if I have a goal, is to be able to use it to get you to that point of existential crisis and bring you back to reality and be okay with it. Because that's how I have felt going through my understanding of I've never taken physics. I don't understand physics that well, but it's been really fun to try and get into it and learn about it. And I have, there's got to be a word for it, but I'm someone who always, like when I'm learning something, I need to be able to compare it to something I know. So I can be like, oh, so that's just like bananas.
String is just like bananas, but one is much, much thicker. Much more girth.
Yeah. Yeah, like if you really get into it, a banana is just strings.
It's just a really fat string. And it's like, there's that one gal, I see her reels, I always forget what her handle is, but she just randomly will come up when I'm like scrolling through reels. And she'll be acting like her brain, like having these random thoughts. And she's like, does a straw have one hole or two? We're just a giant tube. Like, just like all these things are like,
I love that kind of stuff. Poor Graham, though. I have those thoughts all the time, and he's who gets to hear them, especially at bedtime.
That's fun.
He gets like all cuddled in. Hey, babe. And then I just start going on. And every time I say the hey, babe, I get this, yeah. Except it's much deeper.
Yeah.
I love those kinds of questions. I love feeling like my brain is going to explode. But what's weird is a lot of these, like even the inner child work and stuff, all of that came to me via dreaming.
Mm.
And I have a new type of witch. I've Googled it and I'm not really seeing anything. So I'm going to make it a thing. Okay. Is dream witch.
That makes total sense to me. I can see that. All right, do you have a dream journal? Do you like keep track of your dreams or no?
No, I don't. But when I do have dreams, it's kind of weird. And it's something that I've told my therapist I want to touch on to make sure it's nothing like weird.
Mm-hmm.
But like, it's almost like a dissociative thing. But in like my dreams will be so vivid that I will just be going like about my day and my brain all of a sudden, it's not even like, hey, remember your dream? It's like my brain is there almost like reliving a past dream. And it's done it for like ones that I had maybe like a couple nights ago and ones from years ago. Wow. And it's weird too, because it'll be like specific places that I've gone to in dreams like over and over again. Mm-hmm. And if I'm trying to describe it, I can literally just be like, wait, hang on a second. And then like see it in my brain and be like, you know what? In my dreams, I've never gone down that street. What's down there? And like being awake and being able to like explore this dream world. It's weird. And I don't know that that means anything, but like at the same time, I fortunately have a therapist who, when I have told her that I dream so vividly and there's always a lot going on, she's like, that's amazing. That's your brain is just really working overtime, not in a bad way, to get you through life. Which I say that only because I started to see some posts about vivid dreaming being a sign of like not getting good enough sleep. And I just want to debunk that right now. That's not a thing. I asked my therapist. She's like, no. Like your brain's fucking cool and it works things out, as we all know. But like, no, vivid dreaming is totally fine.
Yeah. And I think it also comes down to like genetics. It can come down to like what medications you're having, your genetic predisposition. Yeah. And sure, maybe quality of sleep might tie into it, but it's not the whole thing. Gavin never remembers any of his dreams. Ever.
Same with Graham.
And everyone dreams. Like there have been studies done, people who don't remember any dreams, the part of the brain that is active when you're dreaming, they see that it's active. So they dream. And trust me, I definitely know with Gavin, because that guy, he starts walking in his dream. Like he'll be walking in his dream and I can literally feel his feet paddling.
His little
feet. It is adorable. Yeah. Like he'll paddling. Yeah. Like it's so literally cute. Just his feet. Like it's really cute. And I'm just like, oh, he'll be sleeping next to me. Cause like I'm the night owl. He'll always just like fall asleep like by 9. And then I stay up another hour watching Netflix or something. And I'll just like watch him and I'll feel him that's always like within the first like 10 minutes of him falling asleep. And I'm like, oh, he's going somewhere.
That is.
I wonder where he's walking to, or what he's walking towards.
And of course, you can't ask him because he'll be like, I don't know, I don't remember. Because Graham's the same way.
There have been two dreams that he remembers. One of them was like a nightmare that involved me, and it was after we watched 1922. That like I think Netflix was the one that made the movie of the Stephen King novella. It was like a mini story. And if you've read 1922 or if you've seen it, basically you had a nightmare that the rats were getting me. that they like were dragging me down under the bed and that they were getting me, and he actually like woke up going like starting to say my name. And I'm like, what is it? What happened? It's just a nightmare. Do you remember it? And I was surprised that he did, because he usually does not remember anything. And he's had like one other dream too that was not a nightmare, but I won't share it because it's personal. But it was a very lovely dream.
Yeah.
But yeah, we've been together 6 years. And of the 6 years, he's only been able to recall two of his dreams to me. There's just some people that just can't do it.
I don't think Graham's ever recalled one of his dreams, but you're right. I mean, everyone dreams. It's a dysfunction if they're literally not dreaming. It's not normal. And if you're not dreaming at night, like literally not dreaming, you will hallucinate during the day. That's what happens. That's people who are sleep deprived. They're not getting that quality of sleep. Begin to dream while awake.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're like, I don't dream, you do. If you weren't, you would be exhibiting some behaviors. But yeah. And I think too, there's also just some people who they don't care to remember dreams. So they never put an emphasis on like waking up and trying to recall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because like we talked about that way, way long ago, sleep hygiene. And doing some dream work, and How it's like a muscle you have to exercise to remember your dreams sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
You have to like be in the habit of it.
Yeah, I think people who try to find meaning in their dreams, I think you're more likely to remember your dreams.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For sure.
And I think too, that's a whole nother subject of like dream meanings. I kind of cringe sometimes when I see things about dream meanings, only because it makes it so black and white.
Mm-hmm.
Like your teeth falling out, that means someone's gonna die or a baby's gonna be born, when like if you're me, you just have this like odd fear that your teeth will literally crumble and you will be without teeth.
Recurring nightmare that I have, it's not always the same, but it often will involve a spider. It's always like a giant spider. And I like looked up, I'm like, is there something about spiders? And it was like, oh, you're living a web of lies.
Liar, Maria.
Like you're lying to yourself, or you feel like someone is deceiving you or something, like something to that effect. And I'm like, no, I know myself pretty well.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I think it's just that as I've gotten older, I've grown to be just like really scared of spiders. Like I'm just always constantly scared. I'm like, what if there's a black widow near me? I don't know. that's just what's happened. What's, you know, but yeah, anyways, I think, yeah, the meanings for things like that is you can't, it's interesting to see like an overarching theme for sure. And we could maybe like talk about it if we do like a dream episode. But it's also just so personal to the dreamer. It is so personal to the dreamer. And you can't just say that like this one thing means the same thing for all humans that dream. There's no way.
It just doesn't. And I mean, it's certain things will have certain meanings to you, but then you also have to learn how to filter. Okay, this showed up in my dream. What was I watching before I went to bed? What did I watch the last couple days? You know, because that'll influence one of my dreams. The one that made me like wake up and research string theory, part of it involved people wearing t-shirts that was like Cancer Sun, Cancer Moon, Cancer Rising, like all these.
Like just had their identifying like big three.
Yeah. Even like in my. Yeah, but each one was like just one of those things. And even in my dream, I was like connecting it to memes, the ones that like I love to share.
Yeah.
And yeah, that one part I was like, yeah, that their t-shirts were definitely no special meaning, except that the one that came over to me to like give me this object was a Taurus rising. And I thought he was the cutest of them all. And Graham is a Taurus rising.
Aww.
That's maybe a little bit of a reach, but like that was the only thing that I was like, maybe? But yeah, no. I was scrolling too much on my phone.
Oh, yeah. I watched The Last of Us the other night and I definitely had zombie dreams. Like things were just very vivid. People were attacking each other. Like, and there's a reason. I'm like, yeah, because like that's the last thing I watched on TV before I went to bed. Yeah. Hi, Fitzy.
Yeah.
He wants love.
No.
Fitzy, babe. If I had my mic working, I could show the world how lovely you're purring right now. He doesn't purr as often anymore.
Aww.
My little grump. My baby. He's been, it's interesting.
We all need
He's
a grump. Like,
he's been more needy of affection lately. And I was like looking up, I'm like, cat's suddenly affectionate. Not that he's unaffectionate, but he's more of a quality time is his love language and not so much physical touch.
Yeah.
And lately he's been wanting cuddles. And honestly, I think it's probably just like the addition of the dog in the family has been like so much. Like we got Ringo, yeah. He had to learn how to share attention. And then just 3 months after getting Ringo, we got Canela. I think it's been a lot for him.
Mom.
I love you so much.
Oh, I heard that a little.
Yeah, because I like leaned over to him and he's a
He's
precious
just a
guy. Like
little
we call him the grump,
pipist.
but it's not like he's mean. He just likes to keep to himself. He's an introvert. But he's a
I get it.
lovely, cuddly introvert.
I call Grandma Grump. He's not mean, but he likes to keep to himself. I don't hear it.
No? Oh, okay.
Maybe for a second.
Anywho, well, this has, I think, been a good episode. Good loosey goosey.
Loosey goosey. I need to
Oh.
actually, because we posted about vision boards for the year. I need to actually sit
Yeah.
down and figure out what, because it's going to be a mix of witchy things, but also just like life things, because they go hand in hand. They can't really be separated. I definitely want to get into more readings this year. I want to offer more like to our listeners. But I also want to do more like professional paid readings for people. I want to get back into it. I want to do it. I'm gonna.
Cool. Yeah. The other
Yeah.
one. As soon as Fitz is getting attention, you're a little attention whore. You are. Can't you just have let Fitz have his time in the sun?
Now.
Anywho. All right. Well, thanks for listening. I think we're going to wrap up this episode. We've been talking for about an hour and a half almost. I'm Maria.
I'm Laura.
And you've been listening to The New Witches. Follow us on social media. We are at The New Witches pretty much everywhere. Support the show. You can find us on Patreon, patreon.com/thenewwitches. And you'll get a bunch of perks being a member of our Patreon community, and we'd so very much appreciate the support. And to our existing Patreon members, thank you so much, and thank you for your continued faith in us during even our hiatus.
Yes.
And finally, if you'd like to participate or submit a story to our to be read in our listener stories episode. A couple ways that you can submit your story. You can go on our website, thenewwitches.com, and go to our contact page and fill out our submission form there. Or you can email it in directly to us at thenewwitches@gmail.com. And with that, thank you so much. We'll catch you in our next episode. And stay witchy.
Keep it creepy.
Bye.
Bye.